Call the March 14, 2013 meeting of the Code Enforcement Board to order. Madam Secretary, will you call roll?
Mr. Bourne?
Here.
Ms. Kundig?
Here.
Mr. Smart?
Here.
Mr. Harrington?
Here.
Mrs. Himes is absent today. And Mr. Brown?
Here.
And Mr. Sino is here.
Good morning.
We have a quorum. I'll take a motion to approve our February 14, 2013 board meeting minutes.
Move.
Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Mr. Harrington. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. At this time, is there any disclosure of any ex parte communication? Just want the record to reflect, I received an email from Dr. Long, case number one. I forwarded that on to the secretary so I can go into the record. It's also copied to Mr. Garcia and Mr. Fitzgerald. All righty. Announcements.
Yes, Mr. Chair, we do have a couple of announcements of cases that are in compliance that aren't listed on the agenda. The first one is item number 13. Case number CEB021325 for 502 Madison Avenue was in compliance, I believe, February 6th, 2013. Number 14, case number CEB21327 for 464 Pleasant Street was in compliance March 13th, 2013. Number 17, CEB121251 for 639 Whitehall Street is in compliance March 13th, 2013. I'm sorry? 17. And I believe that's it at this time.
That's all.
All righty. Madam Secretary, if you'll swear in staff, please.
You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Members of the audience, if you have a cell phone, we ask that you put it on vibrate or silent at this time. When you're called forward by your case, we ask that you come to the mic and speak into the microphone as our proceedings are being recorded. Are there any attorneys present this morning representing clients?
I see
you. All right. Seeing none, we'll take the cases and the number by the code inspector of the cases they have. We'll start with whomever's representing Michael this morning for CEB011301, Derek T. Long, property located at 2727 North Atlantic Avenue, Suite 121.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the board. This is Anthony Jackson, counsel for the staff, assistant city attorney, counsel for the staff. And just a reminder to the board to hear on this is case number CB1011301, Derek T. Long. That's 2727 North Atlantic Avenue, Suite 121. And you may remember that Ms. Long was before the board previously because of a broken window. I believe there's some pictures up there for that could not refresh on that. The inspector on that case was Michael Fitzgerald, who is not here this morning. However, I do have an update as to the status. Mr. Chair has indicated, there is a email that was sent, and the big question at this point was, would Mr. Long be in compliance? He obtained a permit, and the reference in this email is that he had 6 months on a permit. Well, that's 6 months to complete the job. However, in talking with staff, the staff's position on that is that this job can be completed within the next 60 days. So what the staff is requesting is that this case be amended for compliance in the next 60 days and with a progress report given in the next 30 days. The explanation from the staff, and I know that Mr. Fitzgerald has advised Mr. Klieg of some information, so he may be able to answer any questions you have, the Inspector Klieg. But the general information is that the window, as you may recall from the prior discussions, was a special order, special size window, and so as soon as they get that in and get it installed, that's the only reason that it would even, at least from the perspective of staff, should even take 60 days. So the staff is asking for amendment for compliance within the next 60 days with a progress report within the next 30 days. Thank you.
Any questions from the board?
Yes. Yep.
Is the window secured from breaking out and causing damage to people walking by or something? Is it just still cracked and sitting there?
Well, I'll remind you, Mr. Harrington, of the what we were provided before, that they're putting the shutter there across the window, and that should be creating that safety. I don't know if Inspector Klieg has any more information.
Is that in place?
Yeah, no, it's got a metal shutter in place. Right?
Okay.
No,
all right.
Okay.
I'm concerned that this case, he was first notified in October, and it must be a very special window. October, November, December, January, February, March. Must be a very special window. Looks like a sliding glass door to me.
Yes.
So I'm not in favor of giving him any more time.
Any other questions from the board?
Well, clarify that for us. If they have a permit, they are by law allowed 6 months.
Well, up to
six months. So we have the authority to overrule that?
Yes, it's not a fixed six-month period. They have up to 6 months to complete a job before they have to renew a permit. So,
okay.
Or before they can get that job final.
So just the fact that they have a permit does not necessarily affect what we're here to say is, are they in compliance or non-compliance, and should we impose a fine?
Well, what we generally would ask is that you ask the question, or the question we would want you to ask is whether or not they are operating in good faith. Have they gone forward in good faith trying to obtain it? I can't speak for Mr. Long. I know he was here before. He explained his postures to what he was doing to try and obtain a contract and ultimately the window. But that would be the question, is he proceeding in good faith? At this point, now that he does have the permit, if you believe it's proper for him to have that additional time, we would believe that time should be an additional 60 days.
Just want to remind the board, last time Dr. Long was here, as you can reflect in the minutes, he stated his difficulty was acquiring a contractor to do the job because of the type of window, the replacement that needed to be done, and then at the last board meeting he stated that he had secured a contractor to do the job. And based on the update, I think the window has now been ordered so that the job can be completed. Just for an update for the board.
And I did not hand you a copy of the permit. The permit is indicating an issue date of 2/14/2013.
Any other questions from the board? Seeing none, Chair will entertain a motion amending our previous order and allowing the respondent until May 1st to bring the property into compliance, but also ordering the respondent to give the board an update at our April 3rd meeting.
April
11th meeting as to a status of this project. Any such motion?
So moved.
Motion has been made by Mr. Barnes. Is there a second? Motion dies for a second. Any other motions?
I'd like to make a motion that we fine the respondent in this case. And is it up to $100 a day starting?
You have to accept the fine.
What? It's income property, it's commercial property. So what can the fine be?
It's $1,000 per day, and the maximum amount?
The maximum amount is calculated based upon the value of the property, the tax value that was unfortunately, we didn't look at that before we came to the meeting.
I'm concerned with the problem that does he know this? Has he had any discussions with Mr. Fitzgerald that this was going to be a recommendation? Is he under the impression that we're going to do this? I would feel more comfortable in him just giving him 30 days instead of giving him 60 days. And then letting him know that we're going to be having a hearing to impose fine at the next meeting if he doesn't get the window done, as opposed to going ahead and fining him today. I don't know if he knows about, if he's been advised by staff that that was going to happen today.
Mr. Carroll advised me that he, the guidance, that the owner of the building was under the impression that he was given at least to the April cutoff to come into compliance.
Yeah, that's my concern.
I'm sorry. Because he already applied and the permit was issued, he paid for it. Again, he was just talking about a general contractor.
But wasn't he notified that today was the day a fine could be imposed?
Yes, ma'am.
By
yes, ma'am.
Legally notified?
Yes, ma'am.
But just to reflect, as the inspector just stated, the inspector led the respondent to believe that he would ask for an April extension since the permit had been pulled and the window was ordered. Just, you know, yes, all of those could have been informed to him, but he was under the impression that the inspector's request was going to be for an April extension.
Since neither one of the people are here that have direct knowledge of that, the only thing I can go by is the paperwork that was filed. And it said we were here, that he was coming before the board today to impose a fine, to get a fine imposed.
That's true, but if he's given the information that he's going to get an extension, we don't know that. Neither of these parties are here today.
I'm going to withdraw my motion if someone else would like
maybe,
to make
maybe
another.
Maybe a compromise would be, maybe instead of giving him 60 days, just give him the 30 days and tell him we want both of the parties here next month.
Right. Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board. If I just may clarify something, I've been CC'd throughout the entire conversation between email conversation between Officer Fitzgerald and Dr. Long. He's asked for an extension. All we've done is, and I'm saying we as a department, has said to him that we will bring that to you all as a recommendation. However, the fact that he did pull a permit, he's done partially what we've asked him to do. He's listed in the emails numerous contractors that he's contacted and attempted to get under contract to perform this work for him. He finally was able to get one. This individual has now ordered him the window in place. That is why we as staff made the recommendation that we did. I understand what Ms. Kundig is saying, that he's been notified, and yes, in fact, since October, why has it taken so long? And I'm truly cognizant of that. However, due to the fact that he has obtained the permit, he has now retained a contractor, we're making this recommendation. And according to the contract, and as Anthony Jackson has stated, he has up to 6 months to complete the work. However, that's an extended amount of time. If the glass was ordered and the doors are going to be replaced, he can do it within the time frame that we've recommended you all to give the extension to. Does that clarify things a little bit better? Yeah.
No, I've withdrawn my motion.
Okay. Chair will make a motion to amend our previous order, allowing the respondent until April 3rd. To bring the property in compliance, we return to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
There is a second. I'm sorry. Motion has been made and seconded by Mr. Bourns. Any discussion?
Yes. In our last meeting, when we said up to $1,000 fine would be retroactive to February, to the date of our last meeting. Did we have this in here?
Let me check the minutes real quick, Mr. Smart.
Yeah, at least my notes said that here.
I think it was just Mrs. Himes that emphasized that she would be unwilling to grant another extension.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall hearing that the order was to be entered retroactive.
Yeah, my notes said until 3/6/13 to comply, or fine retroactive to 2/14/13.
Let me just read into the record our action. Motion was made to amend the previous order of noncompliance, allow the respondent until March 6th to bring the property in compliance. Ms. Himes motioned. Mr. Bourne seconded. Motion was carried 5-1. Ms. Kundig opposing. Ms. Himes asked the inspector to relay to Mr. Long that the next meeting, if not in compliance, she would be unwilling to grant another extension, and that ceases the discussion on that case.
But nothing retroactive in a minute.
No.
Yeah.
All righty. Any other questions? Discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
Aye.
Motion carries. All righty. Give me 1 second here. Takes care of Michael. Next one with one case is Danny Garcia. Okay, but Mr. Jackson is doing the cases. Let's go to case number 3, which is CB 11-12126, John and Francis Witherspoon. We're here for a progress report on that case. Property located at 315 Michigan Avenue.
If I can have just a moment. Just had to do a quick refresh here. This is case number 11-11-12126, as announced, and the inspector is Danny Garcia. This case was before the board. It's here now for a progress report. And it was previously before the board for violation of fire damage, and there was a long list of damage that had been done. And one of the things that had been discussed with the board previously was that the owner was working with the city. They were trying to make some determinations to what they were going to do in the future. The status of the case now is that there is a plan, an agreement that there will be an administrative rezoning, and that will take some time to occur. And so they will need about... We're looking for a compliance date in I'm showing August or September, and I'm trying to count how many months that would be from now, but it will take some time for that whole process to be accomplished.
6 months.
So 6 months would be a reasonable time period.
Okay. So our current compliance date was set for May 1st, and we're just asking for amending our previous order to extend that compliance date?
Yes, yes, sir.
August or September?
September.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Thanks.
Any other questions by the board? Staff recommendation is to amend our previous order allowing the respondent until September 4th, 2013 to bring the property in compliance. What was our request, Amy? Was this a progress report monthly or?
Yes.
Okay. With a monthly progress report, and I believe we stated by the inspector because the respondent lives out of state or staff, with a monthly update as to the process, if there is an update to be given on the process, or at this time, do we...
How about if... Why don't, hold on a second. Mr. Chair, would ask if we could change that progress reporting period to every other month right now, so 60 days. I guess it'll take some time for each one of those planning board and the various meetings to make the ultimate determinations.
Okay. All righty. Chair will entertain a motion amending our previous order allowing the respondent until September 4th to bring the property into compliance, providing the board with a bi-monthly update on the process via the respondent and or staff. Is there such
a motion? Mr. Chairman, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
This originally was a fire damage thing. Has that property been secured? It's no longer...
I'm looking to the nod of Mr. Garcia, which tells me yes, it has been secured.
Is it boarded up, or is it torn down, or
I'll ask for you to hear from Patrick Garcia.
The property has been secured on the upstairs, so there is no, unfortunately, and I apologize, there's no picture to put up on the screen, but it has been secured by the property owner, and they are cooperating with all the requests that we have been making of them.
Okay, so there's no way the homeless can climb up into that
no.
building? Okay.
Any other questions from the board? Alrighty.
Mentioned starting the bi-monthly progress reports at the May meeting. We do that.
Yes.
It'll work out.
Okay.
To be perfect.
Good deal. Alrighty. Chair will entertain a motion amending our previous order, allowing the respondent until September 4th, 2013, to bring the property in compliance, providing the board with a bi-monthly progress report starting at our May 1st, at our May 9th meeting, continuing through compliance. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Kundig, seconded by Mr. Borns. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Let the record reflect case number 2, which is CB011303, is in compliance as of February 27th, 2013. We're finished with page 1. Case number 4, CB011302, is in compliance as of March 5th, 2013. Case number 5, CB1212141, is in compliance as of March 1st, 2013. At this time, again, in order of the number of cases, we will hear case number 20, which is CB031338, PMAT, Belar, LLC, and Metro PCS, property located at 2429 North Atlantic Avenue, Suite 39. Is the respondent present this morning?
Mr. Chair, I'm just confused why you're jumping to number 20 right now.
Brian has only one case.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering.
Taking them in the order that they have so we can get
okay.
them out of here.
Thank you.
Very
for
good.
Clarifying.
Very good.
This is case number one.
Case number 20.
Mr. Chair, we're here on, as you indicated, case number 20. That's PMAT Bel Air LLC and Metro PCS. And that's a property at 2429 North Atlantic Avenue, Suite 39. The inspector is Brian Severson, fire inspector. And this case is here for a determination of compliance or noncompliance. And so the city will call Inspector Severson to give his testimony to the board.
Hello.
Morning.
Good morning.
And if you can start by stating your name.
Yes, Brian Severson.
And your position with the city.
Fire inspector for approximately 7 years.
And as fire inspector, have you had the opportunity to inspect the property at 2229 North Atlantic Avenue, Suite number 39?
Yes, I did.
I'm sorry, let me correct myself. That was 2429 North Atlantic Avenue, Suite number 39.
That is correct.
And that was the Metro PCS?
Metro PCS, right. I had originally received a complaint from the city manager's office and went out there to do the initial inspection. Which was January 11th, 2013.
Okay, and from that inspection, were any violations found?
Yes, the rear exit door, as stated, was rusted. As shown in the picture, I think I have a picture also of the outside. And it was rusted badly enough to not be able to be used as a reliable egress for the tenant.
And tell us who you instructed and what instructions were given as a result of that.
The acting manager at the time was notified, and I told them I would be coming to deliver a notice of violation. And on January 11th, that notice was written and received by the acting manager.
Okay, now it's March 14th, 2013. What's the current status?
Current status is upon reinspection and a hand delivery of the violation notice, which was on the 27th. Let me double check that. On the 27th of February, notice was hand-delivered, excuse me, of the violation, and the fact of the code proceedings, and the exit sign as well as they did fix one violation, which was a fire extinguisher, so they have the exit sign being non-illuminated and non-reliable egress from the rear door. As at that time, they were not compliant. I have since received a letter from the management company stating that the manager would be possibly present here today and also would be going forward with getting quotes, and that they have plans to repair that, and they realize it is their responsibility and not the property owners.
Okay, on the basis of those events, what is your recommendation today?
I recommend that we, since this is proceeding, that we would look at a cutoff to get compliance by the next cutoff date.
Thank you, Officer, and I tend to the officer to the board.
Any questions at this time for Mr. Severston? Seeing none, Chair will entertain a motion finding the respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent until April 3rd to bring the property into compliance, be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Mr. Harrington. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Next case we'll consider is Mr. Clegg, case number 6, CV-011304, Gloria M. Riccardi, property located 823 North Oleander Avenue. Is the respondent present? Please come forward and be sworn in. Speaking to the mic, state your name, your address, and then be sworn in, please.
Sorry, excuse me.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you state your name, please?
Gloria M. Riccardi.
Sir?
John Riccardi.
Can you both raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Thank you. If you can step back at this time, we'll have a presentation from the city attorney, and then we'll hear from the respondent.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, we're here on this is case 011304 with the respondent being Gloria M. Ricciardi, and this is 823 North Oleander Avenue. This was before the board. It's now before the board for imposition of a fine. The violation was no permit for driveway expansion, and remind the board, this is the case where Officer Clegg, the inspector, went and found the gentleman whose name I don't have indicated here, working on the driveway, and he's been before this board previously and explained that he, this is a case that's been going on for quite some time. However, he has been doing some work with FEMA and various emergencies, and that is what he had explained previously for his delay. I would ask for Officer Clegg to come forward and answer any questions and further explain the current circumstance.
If I can just give one more further update on it. He did apply for the permit on 2/14 of this year. It's under review, but I talked to the gentleman Sunday, and he's going to testify that he's having a problem with variance. He might need to go to the Board of Adjustment to get approval. And his neighbor, who everybody knows, Tracy Remark, would be the only objection to this. And I already talked to her, and she said she's not going to object to any infringement of her property. So,
before we hear from the respondent, how much time is are we looking at with them having to go to the Board of Adjustment?
Well, looking at the next case, the next adjustment case is March 28th, so they're too late to go to the March hearing, so it'll probably be April. And the work has been completed, and I think they need to come out and inspect it, so I would say May would be the first application to be issued, and then by June 1st would be completed with inspections. So,
all right. Mr. and Mrs. Riccardi?
Yes.
Anything you want to say to the board at this time?
Not right now. Originally, I was replacing this driveway because I believe it or not, I think I'm the only hill in Daytona Beach. It's like a 20% grade. and my mother, who's elderly, and we'd have to, if her car was in front of mine, she'd have to back out my car, park it in the street, and then back out her car. And I've not made this driveway any wider than the footprint of the garage that's in front of. And I had spoken to Tracy Remark, and she gave me tacit approval to, you know, go ahead and do that. So I didn't realize I would be out of bounds to replace it. And plus, the old driveway was all cracked, and it was a hazard for my mother to walk on it. So that's why we're going here.
Any other questions from members of the board? Seeing none, at the request of staff, chair will entertain a motion amending our previous order and allowing the respondent to bring until May 1st to bring the property into compliance. We return to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion is made. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made and properly second. Any discussion?
I'm sorry. Before you, excuse me. Sir. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt the motion. Something I thought, and I did mark here, is that since we're not coming back till May, I know my previous discussion with the inspector was possibly a progress report. I don't know if he still believes that would be beneficial.
Again, like I said, I even talked to Zoni and Colleen Miles. She said it must likely be approved as long as the neighbor doesn't complain. So it's all up to the gentleman to get it reissued and, you know, apply for it. So.
Considering Mr. Klieg said the meeting is not until April,
right.
Would he even be able to give us an update at our April meeting?
Right, that's why.
The only update would probably be just knowing whether or not he got the variance. And so that's something we probably can, I don't know if that really would change.
Would he be able to
much.
Give that at the April meeting? Because it's not till after April.
I see what you're saying. It won't be till the April meeting that he'll. Understood. Withdraw that question.
All right.
Just an academic question. The work's done. Suppose they don't give them a variance.
Concrete's off.
They have to remove it?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Case number 7CB021329, JNC Solomon Enterprises, Inc., doing business as She Sha Hookah and Cigar Hut, property located at 654 through 656 North Grandview Avenue. Is the respondent present?
No, she called. She can't hear.
Okay. Well, can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
Mr. Chair, this is Jan. Well, you read all of that. Jan Solomon Enterprise, Inc., doing business as She Sha Hookah and Cigar Hut. And this is, again, before the board for imposition of a fine. The violation was illegal signs, no covering on exposed electrical wires, broken window, no permit for installation of pavers. The this is one where I think the again, there is an anticipation of a need to go before the Board of Adjustment, and I'll have asked the inspector, Mr. Klieg, to come up forward and explain further the status.
First of all, the violation there, the window has been corrected as of yesterday. I didn't get a new picture up yet, but the permit has not been finalized. In other words, the building department did not inspect it, so I was waiting for them to finalize that. Then she did apply March 28th as the next Board of Adjustments for the variance on her pavers. Colleen Miles again told me there would be no problem with them approving it. And to put them back down, again, you're talking about a week, they said, if not less. I talked to the respondent.
And the illegal signs have already been taken care of?
Yes, sir. That violation is corrected. That
okay.
Part, I'm sorry. Which one?
They have another sign.
So, in other words, my supervisors told me that since my picture was taken of the sign is still in violation, too. So, all three violations are still current.
What's the recommendation of staff?
Recommendation of staff is a progress report next month, and then a cutoff day again of first of May.
What is the? Can you explain what the illegal sign is and where the exposed? I know we did this before. Yeah, exposed electrical wires.
Right, and it was on the north side of the
Did you get the next picture of that? It was on the north side of the building right there. It was exposed, and then apparently now they're not allowed to have the she-shall sign up anymore because it's not an actual business anymore right now. They're going to be applying for it at two doors down. But that sign right there of the previous one had exposed wires. And then when I took this picture on the 5th, that she did place that picture. I mean,
so it still has exposed wires?
No, ma'am. It has a sign covering on it right now, but...
I'm confused. What are the three?
All three still violations are still present. The window's not fixed. The sign.
Oh, the window is not fixed.
The window's fixed.
It's fixed, but it's not finalized. And the sign is not.
What is the fix for the sign?
If you can hear from Mr. Garcia, I think he's more recently.
Okay.
This past Friday night, we went out to the location to ensure that they had done the corrections that were required. As Mr. Klieg has indicated to you, they have replaced the window. However, it has not been finaled by the building department. An inspection has to be made. In reference to the sign on the north side of the building, which is the one that you're looking at now, they still have not corrected it because that business, Shishaw, does not exist. So they're advertising a business on the building that does not exist. So that is a violation of the sign ordinance. They have to remove that sign. Quick fix would be is they can take that actual panel, turn it around, don't illuminate it, it's done. That's been explained to them, but they haven't done it. So that's the violation that's...
Where were the exposed electric wires?
The exposed electrical wires were on that side of the wall. They've been cut, and also on the west side of the building, which is right there.
Have they?
They've covered
fixed?
That up. Yes. So I believe by the next cutoff,
if they're not doing business as Shishaw Hookah, what are they doing business as? Do we know?
Chickpeas Restaurant.
But they're trying to do Shishaw two doors on. They
what it is,
all three buildings right now.
Yeah, what it is it's two suites that they had. They had Chickpeas Restaurant, and they had Shishaw Hookah. They believed they had Shishaw Hookah. So they were trying to set up a hookah smoke bar and have the restaurant on the opposite side. The smoke bar cannot be there. They cannot have it. So that's a business that doesn't exist. They had the advertisement up. They still have it up on the north side of the wall. They took the one on the west side of their building down, but there was exposed wiring. They've corrected that. However, the sign violation still exists because of the north side of the wall.
But they're not doing business in that building. Is that correct?
They're doing business as Chickpeas Restaurant.
Chickpeas?
Yes, as a restaurant.
Uh-huh. Do we have to re-notify them about anything?
No.
If we've changed, I mean...
Same
violation.
It's still the same LLC or whatever? Okay. Or enterprise?
Recommendations. Is it possible you can separate the sign from the other part? So that we could rule on the sign?
I'm sorry, Mr. Harrington, can you repeat that one more time? You want to separate?
Well, originally, 5 minutes ago, we talked about this going to the Board of Adjustments
for the pavers.
For the pavers.
Correct.
Okay, let's say we give a period of time for that. Can we have a recommendation on the illegal sign, and we can get that addressed immediately?
Sure. We can do a partial order. We do them all the time. So for the signs, and I spoke with the inspector briefly on that, and he felt that the next cutoff would be a reasonable time period. It's really the expectation is they'll have their variance in their setup, and they'll be able to have that whole thing corrected. So he suggested the next cutoff for the sign violation and the remainder.
Why don't we just do the next cutoff for everything, and then if they decide to go to the Board of Adjustment, we can always give them more time at that point. If they decide not to, we can go ahead and find them at that point. Progress report just have a next cutoff.
Yeah, if I understood right, they are going to the Board of Adjustment on the 28th instead of this month.
Already on the agenda.
Right on the agenda.
Okay, good. Yeah, all right. That's good. Okay, great.
So, yeah, they would have answers at least, even if they're not complete at the next meeting.
Do I recall from testimony before that they're going to file for bankruptcy?
I'm sorry,
I recall from testimony before that they were going to file for bankruptcy, or they did file for
bankruptcy?
So Shishaw is in bankruptcy, but the new chickpeas isn't, or they're filed for it?
My understanding is that when the owner came to
testify, she said that the corporation was in bankruptcy.
Right.
The actual corporation. So now, if that pertained to Shishaw or to chickpeas, no, I'm not sure.
Well, you have it listed here as Solomon Enterprises, and the other things are doing business as, so it would be Solomon.
Right. Shishaw would be just a fictitious name, so it wouldn't be Shishaw. It would be the business, the entity. And that's, I hadn't seen any paperwork, so this is only based on whatever was said.
What she said.
Right.
Okay.
All right, let me make sure I got this right. Any other questions from the board? Staff is recommending that we amend our previous order and allow the respondent until April 3rd to bring the property in compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is that correct?
Oh, that was a question to me. I'm sorry. I missed the chair.
Is that correct? We're just recommending amending our previous order and moving this back 1 mile.
Yes, yeah, so off the suggestion of Mr. Cena, I believe that staff would agree that's probably a good suggestion since they would be coming. They wouldn't necessarily be coming back, but well, yeah, that's reasonable. That would be the same as having them here for a progress report.
Is there such a motion?
Excuse me, but am I correct? My understanding is that JNC Solomon Enterprises Inc. is in bankruptcy. Is that correct?
She applies no documentation she produced. She's kept supplied by the trustee and so forth, but she never produced any documentation.
So we only have her testimony. That's what she testified last time, Mr. Morms, that she has filed for bankruptcy. That's what she stated to us at the last
meeting. I was just going to say, if she is actually in bankruptcy, there would be a total stay of any action that could be taken. Well, but if we have no confirmation, we can go forward.
Mm-hmm. But the action just to bring it over the next month, we don't have to stay that. We can just continue. We can bring it back next month, and between now and then we can find out if there is a bankruptcy or not.
And if I won't say obviously, but that may very well be their answer when they come, whatever their limitations, if they do have some limitations as a result of the bankruptcy. At this point, as part of a police power action, we were asking for compliance, but we're not compelling that until we know more as to what they're allowed to do, and we'll know that when they come back before us.
Okay.
All righty, we're in the middle of accepting a motion to amend our previous order, allowing the respondent until April 3rd to bring the property in compliance to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day. I believe Mr. Smart made the motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Bourne. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign?
Aye.
Motion carries. Next case is case number 8, CB021318, Marilyn I. Mitchell Estate, property located at 1331 South Paradise Lane. Is the respondent present? All righty. What can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
Let me catch up. Mr. Chair, if I can have just a moment.
Yes, sir.
Don't quite have a table set up for me for this spot where I'm at. There are several issues on in this case, and so this is 1331 South Paradise. The owner is Marilyn Mitchell Estate, is how we've indicated that. And what we've determined is that Ms. Mitchell was deceased in June of 2010. We have noticed a relative, and at least someone who has been recognized as a relative, that being Glenn Mitchell, residing in New York. And now, there is also someone residing on the property itself. We had a bit of a concern, because it is a state property, as to satisfying ourselves of who the actual violator should be. We recognize that, also, in addition to everything else, that this property is also in foreclosure. We checked the tax status and saw that since 2010, the taxes have been paid annually up until the most recent tax bill was paid in November 2012. So the taxes are being kept current. Someone clearly has interest. The foreclosure is showing recognition of the tenant since 2010, and a more recent amendment has still recognizing the tenant on the property. Our situation on this property is that it's here for imposition of fine. As you can see, the structure, the violation is failure to remove dirt, ground from the exterior wall. There has been no action in resolving that. But a decision we made is to, there had been appointed in the foreclosure an attorney at Lightham, and let me give you that full title for those who, they appointed a guardian administrator and attorney at Lightham, Rob B. Newman, out of Tampa. So we've since sent notification to him over the last week. So we have not actually, we've sent it via fax, but we also sent certified notification. So while we really very much want this property remedied and remedied as fast as it can be, our intent today was to come forward and ask, because this has been around since October 2012, to ask for a fine to be imposed. However, recognizing that we've discovered these additional individuals who have responsibility both through the court as well as have interest, we sent additional notices, and we believe that the next cutoff would be necessary for us to at least ensure that we have adequate notification so that our fines will be good fines once we have a future need if we should to have to enforce those fines.
Any questions from the board? Chair will entertain a motion amending our previous order and allowing the respondent until April 3rd, 2013 to bring the property in compliance for return to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smart. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mrs. Kundig. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number 9CB021319, Lance Maddox, property located at 1660 East Paradise Lane. Is the respondent present? What can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
This is case number 9. As indicated, this is here before the board for imposition of a fine. The violation is failure to maintain swimming pool the clean, safe, and sanitary manner. As you can see, the photos showing the condition. The inspector can come forward, and my discussions with the inspector indicates that she's had communication with the resident and deemed owner. Since our last meeting back on February 22nd, 2013, foreclosure was filed against the property. The general position now seems to be that the inspector indicates that she has contacted the bank, ma'am? I'm sorry. Say, ma'am, Inspector Inspector Langford. You contacted the owner. Well, you indicated that there's some concern that he's not going to leave or that the bank's not going to do anything until he leaves. Okay. So his position was that he was getting all these things done, but he hasn't done anything. And now that the foreclosure is in effect, the thought is that there's nothing else that's going to happen. He's not going to take any action. With that being said, and if I can have just a moment. With that being said, the the staff would recommend a $100 per day fine be imposed. And obviously, as we talked before, we'll have further discussions with staff to see if there's other actions that the staff would take.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I remember at our last discussion that there was a good deal of talk about the health and safety on that property, not because he has young children and because it's open, and that we really didn't want to give him more time or any time. It needs to be fixed.
Because it was or not?
No,
it is not secure. Yeah. It is the way it's being shown right now.
We need to deal with it now.
Right.
That was the issue that was brought up last time, and as we look at the minutes, the safety of the pool, because it was recommended that he even drain the pool as an option for him. But again, we cannot tell the respondent what to do, but we definitely need to take action on that today, because that is a danger, not only to his family, but to anyone who gets in that property.
My suggestion would be go ahead with the fine. That's, you can do that. And we'll also have the next, someone make a motion. And we direct the city commission to appropriate the appropriate fines to secure the pool and leave the property.
They
may have a problem with the foreclosure, but nothing, that's going to happen. If it's going through a foreclosure, it may take a year to get foreclosed upon.
Probably
not going to do anything. No choice.
And Mr. Sheen, if I could just clarify, I believe that our position has always been, and I'd have to look at the statute, but I believe the authority of the board is to authorize the city and not compel it.
I don't know whether you have to recommend a welfare. Even what is fine.
Yeah, and I'm fine with that, that authorization.
Some say some can't recommend, some can authorize.
Yes.
Either one is fine.
He wants a sidebar.
Okay, we're clear. So.
Tony, question. Don't you think it would be expedient to notify the mortgagee, the entity that's foreclosing, of the situation?
It'd be a good idea, but the problem is they're going to probably say they're not going to do anything. They're going to say we don't have title.
Well, the challenge in discussing with the inspector, the challenge is that it's occupied. And it's a little different than when they're dealing with a vacant property as one that's occupied. And I know what you're saying. Maybe the court itself may compel something. This just started. It's a brand-new bankruptcy just filed last
February. Did you say bankruptcy or foreclosure?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean bankruptcy. It's a brand-new foreclosure. Just started February 22nd, and we know how
I don't even think he's been served yet.
I'm getting the indication from the board secretary that she doesn't even believe that service, he's even been served. I'm kind of thinking I looked it up and he may have been, but in any sense, it is brand new. And if he has, it's just after service. So, as you know, the way foreclosure's been going, even getting into court quickly from the status that we're at right now, I don't know how effective. Well, not that we shouldn't try it. I'm just saying I don't know how effective it'll be immediately. How immediately effective, I guess, what I want.
The issue with foreclosure is not our issue. The issue at this point is there's no one to take care of the problem. So we need to go ahead and authorize the city commission to secure the premises, and then we've done our job. And we can do it today.
There's a difference in the wording between direct and authorizing. Authorizing doesn't imply there will ever be any action. If we authorize and no action is taken, is that going to come back to us and we're going to rediscuss this?
It's out of our hands.
Good. Okay. So that's in the administration's ballpark. Okay.
Any other questions? Chair will entertain a motion. Finding the respondent $100 a day fine starting today, and authorizing the city to take the necessary steps to secure the pool so that it is no longer a danger. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Mr. Harrington. Any discussion?
Can we have a maximum amount for that?
What's this? Is it $10,000?
Yes, it's $10,000. It's still owner occupied at the moment.
$100 a day with a cap of $10,000. Motion been made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Mr. Harrington. Any other discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number CB021321, Teresa Burke, property located at 948 Vernon Street, is in compliance as of February 28, 2013. Case number CB021323, Countrywide Home Loans, property located at 1030 Cadillac Drive. Is the respondent present? Seeing not, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
This case is before the board for imposition of fine. The inspector is John Stinson. This was the violations were outside storage, broken window, exterior surface, exterior doors, and the property was unsecured. We are asking for imposition of a fine. I will ask for Officer Stinson to come forward and further update the board as to the status of the of this property.
Good morning. The current status of the property is that it has been secured by the city, and all of the other violations still exist. So the only change in condition is that it's now secure.
Not occupied, correct?
Not occupied.
This is owned by Countrywide.
That's correct.
Has this property been foreclosed upon? I see where it's the owner is Countrywide Home Loans.
I have a note here, and I'm sure the board secretary can clarify this better, but it says that certificate of title was issued 7/15/11, so presumably it must have been through a foreclosure. And there was an attempt to notify the property manager, and the certified mail was refused.
Right.
Hmm. Hold on, I do have something else here that I was not aware of. This is what this is.
That's when you register.
Oh, this is okay. Well, we are showing this is on our original. I'll ask you to explain this.
Correct.
Please.
The notice of violation was sent to the registered agent at CT Corporation Systems in Plantation, Florida, and the certified letter was signed for on 8/19/12. I have it right here.
Let me see, that's CB1?
Yes, that's correct. That's the initial notice of violation.
So they have received notice?
Yes.
All right, staff recommendation on a fine?
Let me clarify that. The original notification, which is the CB1, they have received by certified mail. The subsequent notice, which would be the notice of hearing, is what they refused and was ultimately... I don't see anything else on that.
Can I ask a question? CT, who is CT? Is that Countrywide? You said CT was... notified? No? Did I misunderstand?
Did you see that on yours? That's the registered agent.
Oh, that was the registered agent for Countrywide.
For the
cool. Thank you.
Okay. Oh, and we did receive the sign from Countrywide as, on the notice of hearing as well.
For today?
And the registered agent for the initial hearing.
Okay. Gotcha.
For the first.
So they know.
Yes.
All right.
Mr. Stinson, the property is still unsecured?
No, it's been secured by the city.
Oh, you... Okay. That's not what it says on here. Okay.
Can you scroll to the
security? Have we already taken care of leaning the property for the city expenses, or do we need to put that in this motion as well?
Right. We it's no harm in putting it in. I agree with Mrs. Cino.
Staff recommendation on a fine.
Hold on.
capacity, what would that amount be?
Is that considered commercial property now because it's owned? No?
No, it would still be, at the moment, it's
single family and non-owner occupied?
Single, yeah. I mean, is that?
Okay. All right, 15 max. What's the fine daily? Recommendation?
Recommendation is $100 per day, capped at $15,000.
All righty. Chair will entertain a motion to find a respondent $100 a day with a cap of $15,000 per day, also to include recuperating all fees associated with securing the property. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Boren, seconded by Mr. Harrington. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number CB021324, Corey L. and Cynthia McGuire Moore, property located at 1222 Essex Road. Is the respondent present? What can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
Once again, this is another property that is here before the board for imposition of a fine. The violation was parking in yard, outside storage, junk vehicle, roof damage. The property remains in noncompliance. All violations still exist. There's been no progress made by the property owner and the staff. This case at one point was a foreclosure case, but the foreclosure was dismissed. And so at this time, the staff is recommending imposition of a fine of $100 per day, capped at $10,000.
Is the property occupied?
Yes, it is.
Any other questions?
Is it occupied by the owners?
Yes, it is owner-occupied.
Any other questions from the board? Seeing none, Chair will entertain a motion to find a respondent $100 per day with a maximum of $10,000. Such motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded.
Second.
By Mr. Borns. Any discussion?
Effective today. Correct?
Effective today, yes. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number CB021325 is in compliance as of February 6, 2013. Case number CB021327 is in compliance as of March 13, 2013. Case number 15, which is CB1112134, Beach Property Investment Group, LLC, and Beach Properties Investment, DBA, Bayview Hotel, property located at 124 Orange Avenue.
This case is before the board for imposition of a fine. And I don't believe anyone is present. Oh, here we go. This one, present.
Sir, if you can come forward, state your name and your address, and be sworn in, please.
Hello. Could you state your name, please?
Yes. My name is Bo Harlick. I'm a contractor here in Daytona Beach, building commercial and residential.
You raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Step back for me, please, sir.
Okay, go ahead.
As we'll see, it will be beneficial that Mr. Harlick is here. The current status of this case is that, well, let me remind you of the violations. The initial violations for every unit with a window was not operable, and the instruction from the fire inspector was that the windows had to be operable as a second means of egress for residents. And this is the inspector is David Newell. And the other principal violation was rear fire escape is unstable, rusted through in many areas, and not reliable exit for secondary means of egress. And the door on the second story rear exit must be self-closing. As of this date, the property remains in non-compliance. You may recall we've had a receiver, court-appointed receiver, who has been coming to the meeting, and I have a name, Mr. Sanders, and I'll bring the inspector forward, but in my conversations with the inspectors, he received notification from Mr. Sanders that they would, there was anticipation of compliance all the way up until just a day ago or so ago, a couple of days ago, and then it was determined that they were not going to be able to complete the job on time. So the anticipation now is that it will take them at least a couple more weeks before they can get the job completed. I would be very interested in hearing from Mr. Harlock, who is the contractor, so that we can determine if there's a reasonable amount of time that they're discussing, and based on the amount of time that they're asking for, the staff would like to address that a little more based on how much additional time is needed. We did not have exact clarity. We believe it's about a couple of weeks. So if the board would like to hear from Mr. Harlock at this time, I'd be interested.
Okay. Mr. Harlock, step forward, please.
Sure. Thank you. Yes, I originally contracted with the original owners of the property to rebuild the stairs, the emergency exit stairs. In the meantime, the property went under foreclosure, and we're under the direction of a bank and a real estate company that's providing us the draw to start the job. We obtained a permit from the city approximately on January 29th of 2013, which was a month ago. In the meantime, this Stillwater company keeps threatening us all the time that we have to finish the job, and we realize the job has to be finished because it's an emergency exit stair system for this motel. We went on our own initiative and went and repaired the stairs so they would be usable, the ones that are existing, because they are rusted, but they're not in the shape that it would be detrimental to safety or health. So we are fabricating the new stairs, and the problem was that we did fabricate the stairs one time. We had permission, approval from the fire department saying that the stairs were all right, from our drawings, our fabricated drawings we had. Then it turned around when the building department received the permit application. They denied it and said that we had to fabricate the stairs according to their specifications, which we obtained an engineer and so forth, and we did. We finally got a permit and a set of plans engineered, and we went then and went to the welding fabrication people to make their own plans to fabricate the stairs. Now, this has been all done in the last 30 days, and they're asking us now to finish the stairs in 2 weeks. Well, we're requesting another 30 days. I mean, there's no life or loss of a safety issue or anything involved right now, but all we're asking for is 30 days to finish the stairs. And in our case here, we've been leery of the job because, don't forget, we contracted with the original owners, and now it's under foreclosure. We don't even know who the owners are. I guess the bank are the owners. You know, they haven't been clear to us what they want us to do. We know there's other violations, but we don't know what violations, other violations exist, because we haven't all we've contracted for is to do the stair system.
Mr. Newell, okay, thank you, sir.
One other thing. We didn't know that we could not have access to the stairs until we met the property owner. See, the stairs are on the rear of the building. See the fence right there? That's another property owner on the other side, and we have to get permission from him. Now, when we started this here approximately six months ago, all this here, plans and drawings and everything, he indicated to us that he would not give permission to access his property to take the stairs out and put the new ones in. But now, after we've told him we would pay him and contract with him to rent his property, you know, for the week while we transfer the stairs, he'll let us do it. But in the beginning, he wouldn't. So that's been another holdup. Everybody's like against this project. It seems like nobody, they want this motel to fail and go into foreclosure.
Can I ask you a question? You are the contractor. Who are you working for? What company are you working for at this point?
I own the company. It's Intercoastal Construction Company.
No, but I mean,
who has the contract?
Who has the contract?
Intercoastal.
With
whom? Which entity? The bank or the owner?
The only contract I have is with the original owners.
And
I have no contract with the bank.
Who is the original owner?
Beach Properties.
I appreciate your testimony. I know that you're probably working to get things done, but this consideration of this case is not necessarily about you. It's about the owners.
I'm just doing this as a goodwill.
Right, and I appreciate that. But it's the owner's responsibility. So that's what I have to say about that.
I know there's other violations, but we have nothing to do with them because they haven't contracted with
us. Absolutely. This is not, yeah. I know.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Mr. Newell, I'd be interested to hear about the windows.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Everything is completed except the fire escape. That's just still from the original violation that's just kind of stayed on there. So the only thing is the fire escape. Just to retrospect and look back, this first violation was back in August 2012. It was when the first notification was happened. They were first brought before you November 1st. They were here for December. And the new receivers first showed up January, the first January meeting. They literally took over. They took over December, but they really officially really got the permission, I think he said, like January 4th at our discussion that I had with Mr. Sanders. They've been here every time, and we've been been expressed to us that we'll have it done by the January meeting, we'll have it done by the February meeting, we'll have it done by, you know, the next meeting. Mr. Sanders and I have communication through email, through phone, throughout all of this, so the communication has been going back and forth on that. As a note to what Bo said, after speaking to Mr. Sanders, the original owners of Beach Property Investments are still the owners, essentially Stillwater Company, which is Mr. Sanders, has only been appointed to run the property, I guess, is my best estimation. But no, the owners are still the owners, and that comes from what Mr. Sanders said.
And who is Junco? J-U-N-C-O.
That I don't have a clue.
No, that I misremember something? That one, the investor showed up. Was his name Junco?
The only person I think has ever showed up was, there was the lady who was the property manager before the receivership happened, and her name was Sandy Fowler. I think she showed up one time. Other than that, it's been the only other person that showed up is Mr. Sanders, to the best of my knowledge.
Okay, I don't have
but
all
in,
of my...
in email correspondence, like Mr. Jackson said, you know, everything was going to be taken care of until earlier this week, and they said that the construction company said they needed another week because of bike week. And so now we're asking for another, you know, another month. And at no time did we know anything about the rear property being an issue. And after speaking with Bo this morning, he said that I asked him when they actually contacted that company or that owner of that property, and he said they had contacted them within the last month. So that's the testimony as far as it relates to where the status is. The pictures that you do see up there are as current as of yesterday. So there has been nothing, you know, there has been nothing done on the property since then. One other quick note is when the permit was turned in December 4th of 2012, it was turned in. It was reviewed right after. If we go back and listen to the December minutes, it was reviewed right after the meeting. Of the December meeting, it was sent back to them for corrections. It did not come back to us till over 30 days from the architect, the engineer, and everything like that. As soon as it came back in at the end of January, we approved it quickly, and they picked it up 4 days later. Also, at no time did the fire department approve or say one thing as it relates to they could build it a certain way, and it would go to another way. When they turned in the permit, certain things need to be corrected for me on the permit, and certain things, the building requirement had codes. So I just wanted to clarify some of that information for your knowledge.
Okay.
Staff's position on this case, Mr. Jackson, are we asking for next cutoff, or we want to entertain a fine today?
My personal opinion.
Well, if I could just make a couple of points of Mr. Liu, you had indicated, well, you've heard me tell the board that there was an indication that it would be about 14 days to accomplish this goal, to get this job done. Who gave you that perspective?
That was given to me through Bo, who's on via the phone this morning, so he said he'd need another 2 weeks.
Well, Mr. Chair, I know he asked for 30 days, and I believe that may have just been for cushion's sake. We very much want to see this job done. It's obviously something of great importance. And in speaking with the inspector, if it should take about 14 days, we're concerned that it just seems like there's things that keep coming up that drags it along. 30 days, again, is maybe a stretch. I'm thinking 20, just to give them a small cushion, not such a big cushion. But I'm also thinking perhaps the best solution at this point is to put a fine certain forward and whatever motivation that's been lacking up to this point, maybe it will improve with a fine certain. I would recommend a fine of $250 per day starting 20 days from today's date.
Our next cutoff would be April 3rd. Would that be the day that would coincide with starting the fine?
We can have a moment.
It's exactly 20
yeah.
days.
How about that? Very good. So let's do that.
All righty.
Can questions I ask Mr. Yeah, please. Can I ask Mr. Newell a few questions?
Yes, ma'am.
There are 40 units in this building, correct?
Roughly, yes.
And they're occupied.
Most of them.
Most of them.
The last time I did an inspection, most of them were occupied.
Okay.
Yes.
And we have a fire escape on a multi-level apartment building that's not stable. Do you agree that it's stable enough, as Bo said? Or I'm asking you, is it a health safety issue for the 40 units that are in there right now? And why have, what it's been, the other thing I want to point out is that they were notified in August.
As Mr. Jackson says, we want to get this taken care of as soon as possible, and I think the board agrees at where we're at today. I don't think I'm in a position as a contractor that would be able to say that it's 100% stable or anything like that. Has some repairs been made to make it where people may not fall through a big hole? Yes, that has been done. Could people walk out on it right now? Yes, they could. But I don't think I'm in a position as a non-contractor to say that it's stable, because I'm not a construction individual.
So what you're saying is, according to your particular qualifications and jobs, it's not stable.
Doesn't meet standards.
That would probably be better. Yeah. Yes, I'm lost for words. It does not meet code and standards. So yes, that would be more of a fair way to say it. Go ahead, Mr. Jackson.
And Mr. Harrington, Ms. Condu, I probably don't say your name right, do I?
Kind yes, of, you do. Perfect.
I kind of probably said something similar to this last time, and that's when we're talking fire safety and fire inspection. Until it's right, it's never going to be enough.
That's right.
And so that's kind of the status of this. It's just not right. And so can something happen? Well, if it's not right, yeah, something could. And so we want it right. We want them to go in there and get the job done.
Right. Which is what the reason I'm asking, and we're talking about, are we going to impose a fine, perhaps?
20 days.
Yeah. And because, I mean, we've got numerous cases that we've reviewed over the last several months of either multiple residences or tourist accommodations that are not meeting the fire problem. And I think as a city, and I'm not blaming you, you're doing your job, but as this board functions, we need to really, you know, let it be known that we're going to start enforcing these things, and it isn't going to take 6 months or a year or 2 years for these people to come in compliance somehow or another. We've got to get that message across, or we'll keep playing this game with some of these people over and over and over, and it's in foreclosure. It's not in. That's irrelevant to whether the place is safe or not. And that's the number one question. It has nothing to do with the contractor. It doesn't have anything to do with the owner or anybody. Is the place safe? If it's not safe, we need a far quicker action. And that's so maybe I'm off the subject, but anyway, that's what we're talking about, is health and safety.
Any other questions from the board?
We have a question?
No, I'd just like to make a comment. If not, okay.
You've already been sworn in, Mr. Harlick. Come on up.
I understand the life safety issue here, but them stairs or steel stairs, there's no holes in them. They have the pickets. They have everything that conforms. So they're rusted. They've been there for 50 years probably. But here's the thing. The doors, the exit doors for the fire escape are panic doors. They're locked all the time. It's not a stair system for regular use. It's a fire exit stair system. That stair system can handle 50 people easily in case of a fire. But that's not the issue. You're right. It has to be replaced because it's old. And we got the permit on the 1st of February here, 30 days ago, or roughly 40 days now, 43 days or whatever. And we're ready to put it up, but we need just to final the job because the stairs have to be painted and all this stuff after it's put up. We need 30 days. I don't understand what's, you know, the issue here about 15 more days. You know, this is a construction company. You understand? That's all I got to say.
All righty. Thank you, sir. Chair will entertain a motion amending our previous order and allowing the respondent until April 3rd, 2013 to bring the property into compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine certain starting on the 3rd at $100 per day?
It wouldn't be returned.
$250? No?
It wouldn't be returned. It would be an automatic. Yeah. That's okay. What you're trying to.
Automatic fine of $250 a day with a cap of?
$20,000.
Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second? Motion has been made and properly seconded. Any discussion?
I'm sorry. Let me. I'm showing a different number here, and I'm not sure if it's a calculation error. Oh no, it does say cap up to $20,000. Just wanted to make sure that was correct.
Gotcha. Okay. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. And the motion carries. Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Harlick. All righty, so that we can move expeditiously, let's go ahead and wrap up with Mr. Newell. He has case number 21, which is CB031339, Streamline Hotel, Inc., DBA Streamline Hotel and Lounge, property located at 140 South Atlantic Avenue. Is the respondent present?
Yes.
You can come forward, state your name, be sworn in, and give your address, sir.
Good morning.
Please step up to the microphone, please.
State
your name.
Richard
Postaway. Raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. If you can step back, we'll hear from the attorney, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond. What can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
Mr. Chair, we're here on case number CB031339, Streamline Hotel, Inc., doing business at Streamline Hotel and Lounge. And again, this is another case where the fire inspector, David, that's been brought by the fire inspector, David Newell, and this is at 140 South Atlantic Avenue. And there are numerous fire safety violations that he has noted and has cited the property for. And this is before the board on determination of compliance or noncompliance. And I have been advised by Mr. New that he would expect the his expectation is that the representative for the property would be admitting to noncompliance. However, we'll bring Mr. New forward to be heard. So the city will call Mr. New.
You want that? Okay. Okay. David Newell, City of Daytona Beach Fire Department. My credentials are on file with the city.
You're a fire inspector?
Correct.
And how long have you been a fire inspector?
For Daytona, 5 years.
Okay, and as a fire inspector, did you do an inspection of a Streamline Hotel, Inc.?
Yes, I did.
That's at 140 South Atlantic Avenue?
Yes, it is.
And from that inspection, were there violations found?
Yes, there was.
And were they, what were the nature of those violations?
The nature of the violations.
In fact, I'm sorry, let me ask a better question. What were the violations?
The violations initially, upon the initial inspection, had to deal with the sprinkler system had deficiencies based on the fire report from the last inspection, which basically where there were some corroded fire sprinkler heads, and the water flow alarm was not reporting. The fire department connection sign was not present. There was some electrical outlets in the bar area on the first floor that were in disrepair, had a lock on the walk-in cooler and a missing handle on the walk-in cooler. All fire extinguishers need to be recertified. There's a egress door from the penthouse, which was where there's a bar on the top. The egress doors were swinging in the wrong direction and were also at that time locked, so nobody could get basically out from or onto the actual. Since the door is swinging the wrong direction, if you were in the stairwell, you wouldn't be able to get to the roof if you need to, because there was a bar going across the actual door, and then they were locked also. The doors did not self-close in that same location. We had smoke detectors in two locations that did not report or that did not go off. We had some exit lights that did not go off. Storage in the stairwell. The fire department connection had some brush in front of it, so it was not accessible. Some emergency lighting. Guardrails, as far as handrails in the stairwells, were missing, and some extension cords that were utilized. That was the initial inspection, which was January 21st.
And Mr. New, did you give notification to the property owner or someone who had authority on the property at that time?
Yes, notification was made and via, you know, return receipt mail.
Okay, and after notification, you gave them time period to comply?
Yes, they had 30 days.
And did they comply?
I did an inspection on 2/21/13, and they complied with some of them, but I did an inspection again yesterday, and they've completed more.
Okay, so as of today's date, March 14, 2013, what's the status of compliance?
I've had numerous conversations with the owner, so with him and his maintenance guy. So we've had good dialogue back and forth, and he's working to get a lot of things done. The only things that are left, the fire department connection sign is not in place, but he said he does have. Still a couple extension cords in the downstairs bar, but I don't think they're plugged in anymore. The door swinging and egress of the penthouse is still an issue. The fire sprinkler system still has deficiency, still supposedly has deficiencies. I did walk around, and it appears that they were corrected. However, he was not there yesterday to show me a report. I was advised by the sprinkler contractor that they replaced everything, but I have not seen the report to attest to that at this time. The handrails are still not taken care of in the stairwells in a couple areas, and then the handle on the inside of the walk-in cooler, that was one I forgot, the one on the inside inside cooler has not been replaced. Everything
maybe
else
maybe
has
it'd been be easier to tell us what has been fixed.
Oh, there was a lot more that no that's
more
it
more
than all.
This
this is a short list.
This is just
is
a short,
short list.
List yeah that's all that's left. This stuff right here is all that's left. They've corrected a lot more. If you as far as the list that I went through, they've corrected, I would say, I don't know, 70% of the stuff already.
I have another question.
Sure.
A walk-in cooler indicates the need for refrigeration. Is there a restaurant in there or something that we're not?
There's a bar on the first floor.
And that's what that's for?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Newell, based upon all the circumstances described, what is your recommendation to the board at this time?
Based on the violations that are here, we recommend to next cutoff for the corrections to be made.
I don't have anything else for Mr. Newell. I'll send them to the board for any further questioning.
Mr. Newell, just as we've done with a lot of our fire cases, are these items able to be corrected by next cutoff?
Yes, they are.
Okay. Any other questions from the board? Seeing none, Chair will entertain a motion. Finder,
oh.
I'm sorry.
Do you want to speak?
You can come forward, sir. I apologize for that.
My name is Richard Posery, as I stated. I'm the CEO of the Streamline Hotel. Everything has been done besides the sign, which is on my desk they had to put out there. And I need to put up another hand railing in the stairwell. Fire extinguishers have been updated. All the sprinkler heads has been changed. I have contracts. The only problem was that they had to order a CO2 detector because they didn't have one, and that's on order now, but they said they would not be able to install it until after bike week because they didn't want to come down and fight with the traffic. So that's the only thing left that needs to be done with that. And all the sprinklers, I changed out 45 sprinkler heads, which he hasn't got that report yet because I wasn't available yesterday during bike week. I have other properties. I had other commitments I had to do. But with 30 days, I'm positive everything in Cleveland. The only problem I have is with the door wells in the penthouse. The building was built in 1940. It's a historical landmark. It's historical with the city and the county. The way that they construction the entranceway, there's a platform that comes up about this high. So with the rains, the water does not go on the stairwell. There's no possible way for me to put in a door swinging the other way without taking a concrete slab this thick out. And if I do that, when it rains, it's going to go right down the stairwells every time. That's the way the building was built. That's the way it was constructed. And I don't know how I could change those doors and swing from one direction to the other.
Any questions for the board, from the board?
I just want to address that real quick. We have had discussion on that, and I'm trying to see if there's any variance in that in the code. I have not seen that. However, dealing with the property and that, basically the reason why it needs to be changed is there's a bar on the roof. With the bar that's on the roof, anything that is over a capacity that's over 50, which you'll have that on the roof, the door has to swing in the means of egress or that the way of travel. I don't think you're going to need to cut out that concrete, and we'll have to have some more discussion or dialogue on that. I think a door can be put on the inside, but we've already had this discussion, and I'm trying to see if there's ways around that, but I still think it might have to happen. But in his best interest, I'm trying to see if there's other things out there in the code that would disallow that. But regardless, that's still where that one sits. We've had discussion about that.
Will that matter be able to be addressed and resolved within the next time frame if we extend to the next cutoff?
Yeah, what I intend to do is within the next couple of days really sit down and try to meet up with him again and try to, once I come to the conclusion whether we do or we don't and say this is the way we have to move forward, if we do or we don't, and then go from there.
Any questions from the board or the owner representative? Sir, do you acknowledge that some or all of the violations existed at the time of notice?
Yes.
All right. Chair will entertain a motion finding a respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent to bring the property in compliance by April 3rd, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second. Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Mr. Borns. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. All righty. Thank you, sir. Edwin, you're up. Back to page 4. Case number CB011305 is in compliance as of March 5th, 2013. Case number CB1212151 is in compliance as of March 13th, 2013. Case number CB011317 is in compliance as of March 7th, 2013. Case number CB021322, Betty Kreitman property located at 140 South Keith Street. Is the respondent present?
Mr. Chair, before we proceed with that case, I think the Mr. Lopez has the last of the cases, and he does have a lengthy number of cases, and perhaps maybe we'd want to take a break. I don't know if you do. I know it's getting late in the hour, but I got a suggestion. I thought it was a good one, so I thought I'd bring it your way.
Well, that's up to the board. Do you all want to take a break, or are we ready to roll?
I do.
We still have four more units in the hearing. Let's see here.
Take a break.
We'll take a break. Time is now. What time does that clock have?
That's wrong.
That's wrong. 10:40. Board will reconvene at 10:45. All right, we'll reconvene the Code Enforcement Board meeting to order. At this time, since Mr. Lopez has the only remaining cases through Mr. Jackson, we'll ask Mr. Lopez to let us know which case is to be called first.
Number 22, sir.
Case number 22 is 031330. Willie Gilmore, property located at 573 Cedar Street. Respondent is present. We'll ask you to step forward, Mr. Gilmore, and be sworn in, please.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Can you state
your name,
please?
Willie Gilmore.
You raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gilmore. We'll hear from staff, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond.
Make sure I'm on the right one. We're on number
22.
22,
yes.
So this is case number CB031330, Willie Gilmore at 573 Cedar Street. This is before the board for compliance or noncompliance. The inspector is Inspector Eddie Lopez. And I will ask Mr. Lopez to come forward and give his testimony in this case.
Good morning, members of the board.
Morning.
573 Cedar Street, I did speak with Mr. Gilmore. He has a contractor to do the repairs. Some work has been done as far as prepping the property to come into compliance. The city is requesting that 30 days be given for complete compliance on the property, 573 Cedar Street. Also to note, my understanding, speaking with Mr. Gilmore, and he's going to show me the rental license for the property, so that violation has been cured.
Okay. I was just going to ask Mr. Lopez. You had asked for 30 days. Well, it's here today for consideration of the noncompliance or compliance.
It's noncompliance.
Next cutoff?
The next cutoff, yes, 30 days.
Okay. If I could just ask you, Mr. Lopez.
Yes.
I did not previously announce these violations, so if you can just tell the board what the violations are and what the status of the violations are at this time.
The violation is a damaged canopy on the front of the property. Exterior wall needs painting. Door frame needs to be repaired. Rotten wood needs to be removed. The screens need to be replaced or repaired. There's an inoperable vehicle, but it has been also cured. The unlicensed vehicle is licensed currently. And as I said earlier, the license for rental property, it's current. So that violation has been cured.
So just to make sure, Mr. Lopez, we're just considering damaged canopy, exterior wall, door frame, and screens.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Any other questions, Mr. Jackson?
No, I have no other questions for Mr. Lopez, and make him available to Mr. Gilmore and tender him to the board.
Okay. Any questions from the board for Mr. Lopez? All righty, Mr. Gilmore, come forward, please, sir. What would you like to say?
I'm satisfied.
All right. Chair Lennon, Mr. Gilmore, do you acknowledge that some or all of the violations existed at the time of notice?
Yes, sir.
All right. Chair will entertain a motion finding respondent noncompliance, allowing the respondent until April 3rd, 2013 to bring the property in compliance, be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Motion made by Mr. Harrington, seconded by
Mr. Bourns.
Mr. Bourns. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Gilmore.
You don't remember, do you?
Number 23. She's here, and the property is dilapidated. It's a vacant property.
Eddie, if you don't mind, if we can clear number 19, that way we can be finished with that page, if you don't mind, please. CB021322, Betty Crackman, property located at 140 South Keats Street, is the respondent here. All righty, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson, Mr. Lopez?
Mr. Chairman, this property is still excessive.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Garcia. And just as board recognized, we're doing something fresh and new, so just so we can come and have it for all of us. And we are looking at case number 19. This is CB021322. Betty Creekman at 140 South Keats Street. The inspector is Inspector Lopez. And the violations, this is here for imposition of fine. Violations of trash, junk, debris, tires, household items. And as you can see, it's by the photos, it's quite a bit of stuff. The discussion from the inspector has indicated that there was no cooperation, and there is no cooperation from the owner or tenant. And there's a foreclosure that's been filed and served. So this one, too, is a recent foreclosure. But the staff is requesting a $100 per day fine to be imposed and to go till up to a maximum of $15,000. This is a tenant-occupied property.
Any questions from the board? Seeing none, Chair will entertain a motion imposing a fine of $100 per day.
Yes, yes, sir.
Beginning today with a cap of $15,000.
Yes.
So the property is in compliance.
So moved.
Motion made
second.
By Mr. Smart, seconded by Mrs. Kundig. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number 20, 21, and 22 have been disposed of. Now we're back to you, Mr. Lopez, through Mr. Jackson, to tell us which case is next.
Yes, sir. Case number 23.
Case number 23031331, Rochelle B. Thomas, property located at 616 Division Street. The respondent is present. Ms. Thomas, we'll ask that you come forward and be sworn in and state your name and record. State your name for the record, please.
My name is Rochelle Brown Thomas. Good morning.
Good morning. Ma'am, are you going to be testifying?
My name is Antoinette Neal. Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Neal, you said?
Yes, Neal.
All right, can you both raise your right hands, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
All right, we will hear from you. staff at this time, and then we have the opportunity to respond, Ms. Thomas and Ms. Neal.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, this is this case is before you for compliance or non-compliance. The inspector is Lopez, and I will call Inspector Lopez to be heard.
Name?
Eddie Lopez.
And you inspect with the city of Daytona Beach, code inspector?
Yes.
How long have you been a code inspector?
With the city of Daytona Beach, 2 years.
Okay. And as an inspector, did you inspect the property at 616 Division Street?
Yes.
And as a result of that inspection, what violations were found, and what's the status of those violations as of today's date?
The property's dilapidated, exterior wall damage, exterior door damage, insect screens that's damaged, also protective treatment, and the roof damage.
Okay, and what's this? And did you notify the owner or person with control of the property?
Yes, which is on record with Shelby Thomas.
Okay, and you notified Ms. Thomas of the violations?
I did, and it was a return. Return unclaimed, and the property was posted.
Okay, and those notifications were done when?
The notice of violation was sent on January 10th, 2013.
And now here, March 14, 2013, what's the status of the...
The property still, it seems vacant, it's still in disrepair. Property seems dilapidated, as you can see by the pictures. Was that true and accurate of what I observed?
And based on your observations and all that you've described, what is your recommendation concerning this property?
My recommendation is for the property owner to obtain a permit, repair all said violations within the next cutoff.
And so you want them to be found in non-compliance, and you believe this can be repaired within the next cutoff or remedied within the next cutoff?
Yes.
Okay. I don't have any other questions of Mr. Lopez, and I tend them to the Ms. Thomas as well as the board for any other further questioning.
Just had a quick question. Mr. Lopez, you stated that you wanted the respondent to obtain a permit by the next cutoff. Mr. Jackson's question was for the problems to be remedied by the next cutoff. I just want some clarity. Would the problem be solved? I think I know the answer to my question, but I want clarity. If a permit is pulled, or do we need the, you know, and or if we're trying to allot time for the matters to be addressed, what is the particular time frame we're looking at?
The city's requesting a next cutoff.
Okay. All right. Any questions from the board for Mr. Lopez? Seeing none, Ms. Brown-Thomas, please come forward. What can you tell us?
It is my house. It is in non-compliance at this time. I have called the contractor twice. He's been a no-show. We did fix the exterior door. I've been trying to call Mr. Lopez. I haven't gotten any answer, and there's no ability to leave a voicemail on his service, so I haven't had a chance to actually communicate with him. I'm a native New Yorker, city-born, so some of these things like protective treatment, I have no clue what that is, so I was trying to call him to find out. And the roof damage, my roof was actually done by the city of Daytona under a special program that they have, so I was trying to get in contact with him to find out what he was meaning by roof damage so that I can contact them and say, they're saying I have roof damage and you guys fixed it. But I'm working on all of them. And with the damaged insect screens, I was wondering if we could just take the screens down or see, I didn't know any answers to some of the ways I could remedy the problem.
All right. Ms. Brown, let me ask if, do you think once you communicate with the inspector, you'll be able to have all this done by April 3rd?
Sure.
Okay. Do you acknowledge that some or all of the violations exist?
I'm sorry?
Oh, that's right. Yes, she did. Okay. All right. Any questions from the board? And Mr. Jackson?
Yes, I did have one question of Ms. Thomas. And the inspector indicated that the property appeared to be vacant. Is it vacant or is it occupied?
It's occupied. I live in the same block. My mother lives in the same block. She has severe dementia. That's why I didn't get the first letters, because she was hospitalized and I was at the hospital. So I go back and forth.
Okay, so this is your primary residence?
Yes, my house.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't have anything else.
Any other questions from the board for Mr. Jackson, Mr. Lopez, or Ms. Brown? Seeing none, and by acknowledgement of the respondent that she acknowledges she's in noncompliance, Chair will entertain a motion finding the respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent until April 3rd, 2013, to bring the property into compliance to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Harrington, seconded by Mr. Smart. Any discussion?
I understand that she contacted several contractors, and so far she hasn't been able to.
They ain't even show up for the estimate, but if he's saying that I could take the screens down, I could take the door down, I can contact the city about the roof, the only thing left is the exterior, and I can paint that, I believe. Paint it.
Good enough.
Okay. All right, any other questions? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you, Ms. Brown.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
All right.
Thank you, board. Have a nice day.
Thank you. Mr. Jackson, next case.
Just a moment. City will call case number 24.
Case number 24, CB031332, Leroy and Shirley Edwards, property located at 128 North Franklin Street. Respondent present. Mr. Edwards, if you come forward and be sworn in, please. State your name and address for the record.
Leroy Edwards, Jr., 233 South Adams Street.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
True.
Thank you. No,
all right.
You want to have a seat.
Mr. Edwards, if you want, you can step back and have a seat. And
no, all right, sir.
Okay, all right.
Okay, well, you stay there. I'm right here. No, you're fine.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards.
I did not mind sharing.
No, no.
Okay.
Before beauty.
All right. As we indicated, this is case number CB031332, and this is before the board for determination of compliance or noncompliance. And Eddie Lopez, again, is the inspector on this case, and I'd ask him to come forward and for testimony. So the city will call Eddie Lopez.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, the property still has the... on the front door, it's blocked with a plywood. I wasn't able to take a picture early this morning, but I seen the whole front door has plywood, so there's no egress, and that needs to be removed. And also the gate needs to be repaired. I did speak with Mr. Leroy, and he had it closed, which was fine, and secured. We need to get it back to that state, have the gate back secured the way he had it, and the front door. The plywood needs to be removed. According to Mr. Leroy, the property is vacant, but it's still a fire hazard. We still need to remove the plywood door that he has there.
All right. Mr. Edwards, if you don't... Any questions, Mr. Jackson? All right. Mr. Edwards. Mr.
Surely, the board now, we have that secured around the front door. They, on the previous picture, they broke into the house. They kicked out the bottom plate, went in, kicked out the window, and then had the window fixed on the inside. Then I boarded up the door on the inside. Then I boarded up the door on the outside and replaced the screen door. All that's been replaced and cleaned up. My tenants moved out because they stole a light meter right in the little corner because of the bumblebees coming out. The house next door, it's not a... Here we got bees coming, and now they're leaving that house, and I made a nest in my house. Next door, so my tenant moved out. not only because of the bees, but it's a health hazard. Someone might, because I'm responsible. They went in and said they sit in the back house of the house next door to 128 and watch the college students leave, break in. They broke in the house 6 times. So a tenant's moved. Now I'm asking the city to see what I can do. I called the health department to see about the bees. They say they cannot send anybody out. Ask Mr. Lopez about the bees. He's not a bee man. They got a fire can down the corner. They broke the fence here. Hello, and sit in the back door there. Now the back door is already boarded up now. Wow. So I don't really, this is some of the neighborhood where it's because they go into the empty house, pick up a little package, I quote, a car be parked on the outside of the street, drop the package in the window, and get on the bicycle and ride on down the street. Now, I'm not a detective, but I'm not a rocket scientist, but that's drugs. They're dropping the package in the car, hello, ride on down the street, and they drop off the money before they pick up the package. That's the hood language. Now, I don't know what I can deal with. This is the here. If you look at the pictures of the house, there's a tree that's grown up around a telegram post on Franklin Street, and it takes that palm tree in at least 12 years to get that high. And see, now the tree has now got debris around it, and this is here. I've been in the landscaping business since Macker Brothers started Winston Fall. Now, this is the debris that is from next door when they used to drop dead limbs, but they picked up off a jaw, and then go down to the corner and got an open fire, and I rode by this morning, and they got an open fire now at the corner of Oak Street and Franklin Street. Got picnic tables. So then now we don't have any, the fire department cannot put that out. Police has passed by. But I think for the Daytona Beach finders that we apprehended a couple of them because I had to take a hammer and beat one to hello till I got him in the position to put him in the jailhouse. Then we got another one who thought he was going to throw a gun at me. Hello, we got him. But now I don't really know what. I'm not a slum landlord. I'm my wife. We try to help children get through school. Now, I'm at your mercy now. What would you advise me to do? I've got the door loaded up. If you want me to move the fence, since then, Mr. Lopez, I talked, they have went in the back house and stole my air conditioner. Now, the police said, now, I cannot kill one. I cannot shoot one coming on my property. I cannot shoot one leaving my property. Now, what you want me to do? Someone to kill me and my wife and then come back from the dead and kill them? Because I do love life. Thank you. I'm at your mercy, sir.
All right, Mr. Edwards, we're here today only for the consideration of the fines that Mr. Lopez notified you of.
Only for the violations.
I'm sorry. Only for the issues Mr. Lopez notified you of. What's the time frame you think you would need to bring the property into compliance?
Well, Mr. Lopez said I need to do. I got the door boarded up, got everything taped up. I got it, everything. If you want me to move this fence, I'll move it this afternoon. I'll go hire somebody now.
Can I ask a question? The property, you don't live in that property. No one lives in that property.
Not right now. They've just been eliminated, and I had a young lady moving in February. She put the water deposit on. Uh-huh. They cut the water on and flooded the two bedrooms.
So, Eddie, what are you asking them What are you asking Mr. Edwards to... Okay, well, we're going to find out. Because if it's not occupied, is it not better to have it secure? Is that what we're looking for, is secure?
If I could speak to that, Ms. Kundig. A property that's boarded is a property that's in a state of non-compliance. It's in disrepair. Okay. When we board them up, we're boarding them up because they are in that state and no one is making those necessary repairs.
Okay.
For the property to be properly secured, he would have to secure like a normal visible property, which would be with, you know, locks. And I understand the difficulty of having it vacant, but that's just, you know, the whole aspect of property ownership. And so his compliance would need to be to not have it boarded up in that manner.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the board? Any questions for us, Mr. Edwards? I saw you getting ready to ask.
I have everything in order just for a phone call. Bruce at Discount Carpet Company, they have measured the whole house, but I don't want to put $1,000 worth of carpet in, and I don't have no protection on that one little street. I got Butch at Clamatron Air Condition is ready to put the air conditioning unit back. But I cannot afford to put that back, and they're coming. We don't have no... They got in and out of traffic there. We had two policemen on bicycles that stopped by several weeks ago. They kind of slowed it down. But we're dealing with drugs. And I don't want to invest. My house has been painted completely on the inside. The trees has been moved. I have a young man now that said he was going to purchase it. And when I'm going on a vacation, when I come back, we're going to think we can drop it off, get to over for this.
Okay. All right, Mr. Edward, go ahead.
Mr. Chair, and I'm sure Mr. Lopez was going to, if he hadn't mentioned it to him, I don't think they've had the contact before, that if he hasn't already taken advantage of having a trespass, making the property a trespass arrest site, he can talk to him about how he can do that. And that would assist him as well, at least in his efforts to keep the property protected.
That's what I was getting ready to recommend, Mr. Edwards, that you register your property so anyone found on the property, once you register the property, you can have it as a no trespass property. But that's something Mr. Lopez will discuss with you as soon as we finish with our actions here.
You said take the no trespass sign down?
No. We'll ask Mr. Lopez to discuss that with you when we finish.
We'll put the property registered on the no trespass arrest site. That way you have.
Go ahead.
All right. Mr. Edwards, do you acknowledge that some or all of the violations existed at the time of notice?
Everything will be fixed.
All righty. All right. All right, Chair will entertain a motion find the respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent until April 3rd to bring the property in compliance to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Ms. Kundig. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Since Mr. Lopez is occupied, do you want me to go ahead and...
I'm sorry. Can
Case number 27, CB031335. Craig Carter, property located at 213 South Keach Street. See, we have two respondents present. Mr. Carter?
Yes.
If you could step forward, please, and state your name, your address, and be sworn in. And will you be testifying also, ma'am? All right. If you can step forward and state your name, address, and be sworn in as well.
Can you state your name, please?
Craig Carter.
Ma'am? You raise your right hands, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
All righty, thank you. If you could step back, we'll hear from our attorney, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, this is case number CB031335. Respondent Craig Carter at 213 South Keach Street. He's here for violations of damaged roof, windows, door trim, trash, junk, and debris. And this is before the board for a determination of compliance or noncompliance. And the inspector is Eddie Lopez, and I will call Mr. Lopez to the stand. State your name.
Eddie Lopez.
And also, Lopez, did you have the occasion to inspect the property at 213 South Keach Street?
Yes, I did.
And as a result of that inspection, did you finally make a determination of any matters being in violation of the code?
Yes, numerous violations.
Okay, and were those violations communicated to the property owner?
Yes, there was.
Okay, and I'm asking you this time if you would advise the board of the status.
Status is in noncompliance. Property is still in disrepair.
I'm sorry, I needed to ask you to inform them of, describe to them in full the violations and then the status of those violations. And the status of their compliance with those violations.
The noncompliance on exterior door frame, the windows, window frame, decay trim, broken windows, the roof, fascia soffit, the carport area. If we could get into a picture there, Vicki, please. On the carport area, which is in disrepair. Rotten materials. We also have trash and debris throughout, tires throughout the stored in front of the property. And trash and debris, tin cans that is still in noncompliance.
Okay, when were they first notified?
December 6, 2012.
And how much effort towards compliance up to this day?
None compliance. No effort has been made.
Okay. What is your recommendation as to time for compliance based upon all the information provided?
My recommendation is, well, the property owner, Mr. Carter, is in financial situation. Try to see if we can find some assistance, but I guess the city is unable to issue funds or assist them with that. City is requesting next cutoff for compliance of the violations stated.
Now, the violations included damaged roof and windows. Are those violations that will require permits, and would that change the time at all?
It wouldn't change the time. It does need to obtain a permit, but the time frame what would impede would be his financial status. My understanding is Mr. Carter's in a situation, financial situation.
Okay, I don't have any other questions of this inspector. I tend to Mr. Lopez to the board and to Mr. Carter for further questioning.
Any questions from the board, Mr.
Yes.
Lopez?
Eddie, what's the average turnaround for a permit on this kind of thing?
I don't have that first-hand knowledge on permitting. What's the turnaround?
Does anyone know if they're acting within a week or immediately or 2 weeks?
When you say time frame,
to issue the actual,
about how long does it take to issue the permit?
Yeah, if we're going to ask for compliance, it's one thing to say they have a permit.
Yes, apply for the permit.
Yeah, apply for the permit. It should be a week.
And that takes about a week.
And so forth. So within a week, he should be able
to
get his permit.
Yeah. Okay. That's.
Any other questions for Mr. Lopez? Mr. Carter, please step forward, sir. What would you like to tell us? And Ms. Williams?
First of all, we do have the permit. And,
it took more than a week to obtain it.
It took like three weeks to get ours because we kept speaking online and he requested different drawings and we bring the drawings and he would say no to this. And then when we did come down to actually see what was the outcome of the permit, she looked and couldn't find the paperwork. So it had ended up on Ron's desk. So we did get a permit. We did just get it on the 6th. And he is a disabled vet. His income is very low. The reason why I rented the rest permit was to immediately start working on the roof, because that's the major damage. The debris, the front yard, maybe Mr. Lopez hasn't passed it recently, they have cleared that out up front to get the debris and the junk out the front yard, and all the cans and the big blue cans you saw in there, they're all gone. You know, there is a little bit of stuff there, but not like the pictures.
The tire's been removed.
We were just wondering, you know, with us getting the permit, you know, would it give us a little consideration, a little more time, not asking for the 6 months. I'm just asking because his financial ability to try to pay.
Your permit has been pulled to do what work, Mr. Carter?
To start on the roof.
To do the roof work. Are you going to be doing this yourself, or are you going to hire a contractor?
We hired somebody. Okay. They already came out. And they're gonna,
there's no way I can get it.
Just making sure.
They're going to start next week on the roof.
What's the timeline they've given you to be completed?
Who gave us?
The contractor.
Well, he didn't. It's not a contractor. He's doing it on his own, getting his own people to do it. She said we can do it that way. And
these people have licenses?
The son does.
Okay.
Yeah, he has a license.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Just want to make sure you want to get into a bigger bowl of grease.
They're actually going to start on the roof next week, and I don't know, unless Mr. Lopez saw a window in the back, because I just had all those windows repaired, had that AC put in, and all that, and I did that myself. I didn't put it in myself, but I took care of it myself. Unless there's a window in the back that I don't know about, because I've never been in the backyard. I'm scared. It makes my So I'm going to have to check that when I get home. All that little minor stuff can be done, you know, the debris, the window frame. The roof is our biggest issue.
Okay. How much time are you looking for?
About 90 days.
Maybe 90 days.
Okay. Chair, I'll entertain questions from the board.
Mr. Carter, do you live there?
Yes, ma'am.
You both live there?
No, ma'am.
No.
You
I
don't.
I take care of all his billing and his money and stuff like that. That's all.
So that's your relationship to him? Is that
yes,
you
I take
okay.
care of
So you live someplace else. Okay.
Oh,
okay. I just didn't know why you were up there. Okay.
No, ma'am.
That's fine.
She stated her address at the beginning.
Yes, she did.
Okay. Any other questions from the board? Staff's position on the respondent's request for 90 days.
Your Honor, just the same as Mr. Brown. Speaking with staff, we agree maybe some additional time. They do have the permits. We believe 90 days is much more time than necessary. We would agree to going to the next cutoff, so 60 days or 60 days, which would be not the April, but the May cutoff. Yeah.
All right. Mr. Carter, do you acknowledge that the violations existed at the time of notice?
Yes.
All right.
I don't know about the windows. I haven't seen any windows.
Some or all of the violations existed. Do you acknowledge? Okay. Chair will entertain a motion, find the respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent to come into compliance by May 1st. 2013. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Bourne, seconded by Mr. Smart. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. All right, so you know, Mr. Carter, what we've done is given you until May 1st to bring the property into compliance. If you run into any issues, please stay in contact with the inspector.
No problem.
Okay, thank you.
I do have one thing. May 1st from this point on is not 60 days. From this date here, May 4th. May 1st is not.
We have to work with our cutoff date in our calendar. That's why I stated if you run into any complications, please.
Thank you.
Case number 26, CB031334, Doreen G. Arnold, is in compliance as of March 7, 2013. Case number 25, CB031333, Michael Rogers, property located at 132 North Franklin Street, is the respondent present. What can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
Mr. Chair, this is before the board for compliance and our compliance. The inspector is Officer Lopez, and I will bring him forward to testify. Officer Lopez. Can you state your name?
Eddie Lopez.
And as to the property at 132 North Franklin Street, did you have a occasion to inspect that property?
Yes.
And inspecting that property, did you find violations on that property?
Yes, I did.
And what were those violations, and what's their current status?
Currently, non-compliance, trash, debris scattered throughout the property, and damage roof and soffit on the vacant property.
And these violations were communicated to the property owner?
Yes.
And when was that? When were they notified?
January 10th, 2013.
Mm-hmm. Notice of violation was sent January 10th, 2013. And certified mail was received.
Okay, and you gave them a period to come into compliance?
Yes, I did.
And as of this date, March 14, 2013, are they in compliance?
They're in non-compliance.
Okay, and based upon your testimony, what is your request to the board?
My request, the repairs be made, violations be addressed within the next cutoff.
I have no further questions, Mr. Chair.
Any questions from the board?
Is this occupied?
As I stated earlier, it's vacant property.
Okay.
Seeing no further questions, Chair will entertain a motion finding the respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent to come into compliance by April 3rd, 2013, and be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Mr. Harrington. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number CEB031337, Mary Bars, 540 South Street, is in compliance as of February 27, 2013. Case number CEB031336, Monica Allen Smith Estate, property located at 915 School Street. Is the respondent present? Seeing none, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
This is another case that's before the board. For compliance or non-compliance, the inspector is Eddie Lopez. This respondent was cited as Monica Allen Smith Estate, which again concerns us, as we've stated before. Ms. Smith is deceased 5-4-05, so May 4, 2005. There was an estate case that had initiated but was ultimately dismissed for failure to file appropriate pleadings, so there is no formal probate proceeding. The property is in foreclosure, and it actually has a pending foreclosure sale scheduled for March 22nd, 2013. With this being a compliance, non-compliance case and an anticipated sale that close to our time period, it's probably best, I think, for us to continue this case to the next meeting after the foreclosure and see if indeed there is a foreclosure, we can get a new person on board, and ultimately we may dismiss it and get that person working to get it into compliance, the new owner, of course, without the necessity of coming before the board.
All right. Staff recommendation is to continue case number 28 until our April 11th meeting, 2013. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by? Seconded by Mr. Harrington. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
I guess we must have questions. Everybody's kind of.
Continue. There is no questions.
Okay.
All right. All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. That exhausts our agenda. And that exhausts our agenda at this time. Any miscellaneous business?
Yes. Can we make a formal request to Betty Goodman that we get a new board member?
That has been communicated. Madam Secretary is going to ask the status of our board appointee.
All right.
It's online.
I mean, you can see the applications and you can see the vacancies.
I believe the city has done its part notifying people.
Are they advertising?
The applications have been coming in.
Are they advertising the pay and benefits?
What's that?
Are they advertising the pay and benefits?
Well, I'm certain. That's why you got so many applications.
You know, over the years, it's a lot of times it's taken you guys to kind of encourage people you know to, you know, from your circle to just say, hey, you know, it's nice to be out here on this code board and that kind of stuff and get them out and get them involved. So maybe it may take a little prompting, but
appointment,
the city, like, as they said, it's out and it's available.
The appointment is not zone based, is it?
I'm sorry?
The appointment is not zone based.
It depends on what Larry's position is.
No, not officially.
Yeah.
No, I mean, not, no. I guess the
some
right
appointments
answer is no.
Are zone based.
Right,
don't think
right. The right answer is no.
Yes.
And the, as you may be aware, there are certain because types of trades that are preferred. But
okay.
Of course,
okay. So
we just start with the loud body, and we'll go from there.
Certain kind of. How did I get on?
Any announcements or miscellaneous business from staff?
I don't have any announcements.
Mr. Harrington, Mr. Smart,
no.
Mr. Barnes, Ms. Kundick, I have nothing. Mr. Zeno, all righty. Seeing none, we are adjourned.